Romans chapter number 15, and we'll be reading from verse number 23 down to the end of the chapter. Begin verse 23, it says, "But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I am coming to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have done or I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you, be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for this your precious word. I pray you might bless the preaching of it to our hearts. Lord, make it very real to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans, we find that he is making his desire known for future ministry. He has some tentative plans made, and he's reviewing these with these folks. And we find that he was taking an offering from the Macedonian Christians to the saints at Jerusalem. It tells us in that they had ministered spiritual things, and now he's bringing back physical things to them. And we find that they are now being taken care of by those whom they have spiritually taken care of. And so this offering has come back. But we also find that as he's writing to the Romans, when that has transpired, his plan is to come to Rome and then to go on to Spain and to be able to preach the gospel to these folks. Now, knowing what lie ahead of him, we find that he is begging these folks that they would gather themselves together and pray for him. My main text tonight is found in verse number 30, and let's read that once again. He says, "Now," he says, after he has revealed to them his plan, "Now beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake," and he says, "for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Here he is asking them that they might gather themselves together in prayer for him. Interesting that Paul is begging them for this particular purpose. As I look at this, I think that the intensity of the need here is very, very great. There's an unusual word that he uses here for prayer. And if you notice that word in verse 30, he says that ye strive together. Too often it's strife among God's people that is the rule. But here he's saying that we might strive together against the forces of evil, and that is the focus of his prayers. So I want us tonight to stop and consider this. I believe personally there are a number of types of prayer, but basically it comes down to you and I as individuals praying privately in our prayer closet. That is one kind of prayer. We could talk about many aspects of that prayer, but we ought to be prayer warriors on an individual basis. We need to seek out God and seek His face day by day. But also I find that the Lord uses very immensely the prayer meetings that are found in the Word of God. God wants us to gather together in groups and to seek after Him. Sometimes I use the term corporate prayer. As we gather together corporately, as we gather together in this means of prayer. Now, one of the things we've done recently in our prayer meetings, a little unusual from what I've experienced in the past, very seldom anymore do we stop and take prayer requests. Matter of fact, what we do is we begin praying and asking God to lay upon our hearts that the Spirit of God may direct us in our prayers. And then as God gives us those things that He wants us to pray for, then we as individuals pray that, and others as they listen in their hearts, it's an amen. And it's a wonderful experience because God teaches us that when we're agreed upon something, He certainly will answer us. And we need to learn how important, how wonderful, and how blessed it is to gather together with God's people and to pray. And the Apostle Paul is saying here that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And so we notice here, first of all, the person of the prayers. This is interesting to me. You know what we find? The Apostle Paul is believed by some to be the greatest Christians that ever walked upon the face of the earth. I've heard preacher after preacher talk about Paul as the greatest of all preachers. I've looked at and studied the life of Paul, and certainly he was a great man. And we find that many, many, many things took place in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And yet we find that this saint of God, who lived perhaps more fully than any of us ever expect to live, he is intensely seeking for people to pray for him. How important is prayer? Paul says that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. What we fail to understand is the tremendous need of prayer that all of us have and that all of us need in order to lift each other up. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many know tonight that there's folks in this room that have some needs? I'm not talking financial. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking about they have spiritual needs. Every one of us here have spiritual needs. Matter of fact, we look at brethren, and God allows us to see certain needs in other people. And why does He allow that? That we might lift them up in prayer. That we might pray one for another. That we might gather together and lift each other up in prayer. Our Lord, in the greatest hour of His need, He is in the Garden of Gethsemane and He beseeches His disciples to pray with Him. And He tells them to watch and to pray. But what did they do? They slept. And we find the Lord by Himself. Oh, listen, even our Lord needed and desired for His disciples to pray for Him. I believe tonight that leadership, whether it's a Sunday school class teacher, a church, its pastor, whether it be a home, its daddy, if it's the job and the foreman, no matter where it is, leadership definitely needs our prayers that they will be strengthened for the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul says that ye strive together with me, and he's wanting them to pray for him. All too often, rather than praying, we become people who are complainative. And all too often, we're like Korah. Rather than praying for Moses and praying because he has a great load upon his shoulders, he begins to complain and say, "You've taken too much upon you." And we find that often takes place. What God wants us to do is pray one to another. Also, far too often we find men like Nehemiah who have a Tobiah and a Sanballat who ridicule them when instead they ought to be praying for them. Notice something very specially here that is, I believe, it just kind of blows me away. Notice verse 30 again. "Now beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake." Think about that, "that ye strive together with me in your prayers for me." He is saying here, and encourage him to pray for him, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Listen, if I pray for you, Mindy, and I ask God to do something in your life, it is not just for you, it's for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is and ought to be that His life be magnified because of you. And so as we pray one for another, it is for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice it does not end there. And notice the second part of that, and for the love of the Spirit. Stop and consider tonight. I believe perhaps the reason we often do not gather together in prayer is because we do not see that it is for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do not have a real love of the Holy Spirit of God. For He is the mover upon this world. He is the one who can do that which is necessary. Listen, He moved upon the face of the waters. It's the Spirit of God that must do that kind of work. And we find here that He says, for the love of the Spirit. The person of the prayers. Who are they? It's all of us. The person of the prayers. Who is it? It is leadership. The person of the prayers. Who is it? It was in one case even the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's for His sake. It is for the love of the Spirit. Notice verse 31. And I go to the purpose of prayers. Verse 31 says that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Paul is taking an offering back to those in Jerusalem. But also in this area, in Judea, are those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're non-believers. They're Jews. But they hate what is taking place in this world now with the acceptance of Christ and many going away from the Jewish religion, becoming Christians. And so Paul is saying and asking here that I might be delivered from them. When you read the book of Acts, you find that as Paul goes into Jerusalem, that it is not too long before the crowds are angry. And they're wanting to stone him. They're wanting to kill him. But God answers these prayers. And He does it in a marvelous way. He's asked the Roman people to pray for him. And it's the Roman army that comes to his rescue. And it is these men who are unbelievers who rescue him. God uses them. And through all of that, brings him to the city of Rome. How God is wonderful. How God does it so magnificently. And so he asks that he might be delivered. But notice also, he says that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Do we not know that oftentimes believers who are about to be blessed of God can become cold and indifferent? Do we not know that sometimes we walk into a church service and God wants to give us something, but we're cold and we're indifferent. And we do not receive that which God has for us. And so he is saying here that prayer might be made for those who are the saints, that it might be accepted of them. How often we need to pray for that. And then he says that they might all have the refreshment of God. Verse 32, he says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. And so Paul is praying deliverance from the non-believers, a change of heart among the believers there in Jerusalem, but also that he might be thus brought to Rome and that it might be done that all would be refreshed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of the prayers, we find, is threefold in this particular case. But notice lastly in verse number 33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Prayer together. Corporate prayers. We gather together in prayer meetings. It's not to just bring us peace of heart, but the presence of the God of peace. Often we have met together in prayer times, and as we have met and we began to pray, and through the Spirit of God, those prayers go up. We find that there seems to be a particular route that God takes us. And after a portion of time, one of the things that seems to take place is we enter into the prayers of the other. It's almost like what another person is saying is coming forth out of our own mouth. And we come into this unity and harmony area. And it's an area where we begin to recognize that God be amongst us. Oh, the blessed presence of the God of peace. When we sense His very presence. A lot of folks say, boy, we'd like to see revival, and I don't know what they're looking for. Revival is knowing the presence of God. Where's it going to be found at? While you're sitting home watching television, or when you're with God's people in prayer? Where's it going to be found at? While we're running up and down the whatever court it is, whether it be basketball or football, whatever it might be. Is it going to be found there, or is it going to be found when we enter into prayer one with another? I believe the answer is pretty obvious. And yet we seek it not. Yet we do not desire that particular thing. A lot of folks say, well, I've got to have great motivation. I've got to have this thing. No, it's a matter of saying, I know what God wants me to do. And I'm with God's people, and I'm praying. How God works and blesses. I've seen times when I walked into those things, my heart and my mind wasn't on it. In fact, tonight, I had worked on message, and about 30 minutes before prayer time, I kind of leaned my head back, and I went sound asleep. Prayer meeting's at 5:15, 5:11, I wake up. Sure glad it wasn't 5:16. My mind was a little muddied when we got in there, but God spoke to my heart, and God wondrously wrought as we met one with another. How blessed it is, striving together in prayer. Letting God use us in the lives of other people. It's needed. It's tremendously needed. Tomorrow morning, you're going to face some very difficult things. You're going to be going to your jobs. You're going to be going here. You're going to be going there. You'll probably face some things tonight. What do you need? The power and the peace and the marvelous presence of God in your life. And one of the things that God has for us as a group is a wonderful privilege of prayer. Can I ask you a question? Why do we say, I'm going to a church service and there's preaching, but we're not going to a church service because there's praying? Why do we say that we have 4 services, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but we do not include prayer meetings? Why is it that the early church had the power of God and they spent the first 10 days not in preaching but in what? Praying. I love to preach, but we'll get more done praying when we're seeking after God. It is the need of the hour. Tremendous need of the hour. Let's go to Him right now together. Father, thank You. We have this tremendous privilege. Lord, we pass it up. We make it.